Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you. Important training element here. Come on up here, Alan. Okay. Now, this is very important the way we do this. When I get to the part of the service where I say neighbor, tap him. I want you to come on, Alan. I'm not going to hurt you, Alan. Now, you do the same thing to me. You ready? Neighbor. Okay. Now, it's important you do that at the same time. Okay. So let's try this again. Now, tap your neighbor. Say neighbor.
Neighbor.
Okay. Try that.
Neighbor.
Okay, there you go. Have a seat, Alan. And you'll see why that is important in a few minutes. I promise you, you will see why. Always some little apprehensive about giving the whole background of Paul's letter to the first church in Corinth, because sometimes people will sit there and say, gosh, is Pastor Dennis talking about Hilltop? And the answer is probably not. Not in the specific. The tragedy is that ever since that there's 115 occurrences of the word ecclesia, I'll get to it in a second. Ecclesia in the Bible, and only two of them are red letter words. All the rest of them are other people talking about the church. Ecclesia was a Greek word. It means those called out. Those called out. So when you sit there and you hear people talk on television, they say, the ecclesiastical authority. Come on, laugh. Humor. Come on. And it comes from that word ecclesia, which means those called out. And when we translate in the Bible, we translate it as church. Church. Now, Paul's dealings with many of his churches that he got established are a little rocky. They're just a little bit rocky. And Corinth is one of those churches. Corinth is a church that, after Paul leaves and goes away, they figure they've got it all figured out. They got it all figured out. And the well-to-do start to leave out those that are less well-to-do. They start to do things, and a group within the church is bothered by some of the things that are going on. And the others sit there and say, there's no big deal. Paul taught us that the law has gone away. They had a young man in the church who decides that the law has gone away so much that he begins to shack up with his stepmother. Paul's appalled. Paul is absolutely appalled at this. So what he tries to remind them of is the fact that the church needs to be all brought back together. It's a regular issue with Paul. And I would say in the 2,000-year history of the church, it's a commentary that sadly we have to repeat periodically and remind ourselves over and over and over again that the church functions best when it operates together. Now, last week, my conversation, my sermon, my reflection with you was on the idea of Jesus. Everybody in favor of Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
And I offered you why Jesus in the world. And I primarily focused on the communion element and being one with Jesus and the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross and the Easter element. Now, that's a 15-second version of what we could talk for weeks about, all right? But today, I wanted to talk about the church. Why the church? And we sang some of that. We sang some of that in our music that we offered, what we sang and talked to each other about. The church is the body of Christ. We are God's hands. We are God's feet in God's world. So if the question last week was, why Jesus? The week two is why the church, to be Jesus in the world. That's why the church exists. Now, unfortunately, sometimes we get ourselves focused on me. And that's exactly the problem that Paul is dealing with in the church in Corinth. Some of the people are sitting there saying, I am a prophet. Oh, I am great. I can speak in tongues. I am great. Over and over and over again. And what Paul's trying to remind them is that they should be using those gifts to build up the church rather than focus on themselves. Okay, here's the first one. Neighbor. Tap your neighbor. Neighbor. Okay, let's start this again. I didn't do it well. Okay, ready? Church of Engineers. You ready? Tap your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Pastor Dennis is talking to you. We all are one in mission. We are all one in call. Our varied gifts united by Christ, the Lord of all. Did we sing that today? Did we sing that today? Wow. Would it not be a wonderful place if that's exactly the way we saw the world? And then we came back with that wonderful piece written by Roberta's sister, Unless the Lord Builds the House. Lord, we come to you today, earthen vessels, jars of clay. Fill us up with not hostility, not anger, not individuality. Fill us up with what?
Love.
Spirit, heavenly dove, make us overflow with praise. Lord, we come to you and pray, take our lives. Take our lives, have your way. What a concept. Take our lives and have your way. Holy Spirit, come, let your work be done as we follow and obey, unless the Lord builds the house. When I go back to the recordings, and I hear myself sometimes on my recordings, my Georgia accent does come through just a little bit there. Lord. Susan said, that's okay. All right. I know we got at least one couple here from Alabama. And so I was born to an Alabaman, but I was raised in Georgia. So can I have a praise God there? Hey, amen. All right. The Braves won yesterday, by the way. The wind was blowing out. If you're a Chicago Cubs fan, I'm sorry. Then we came back with the offertory. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. We say these things. We say these things. And then, what do we do in the church? We say that, and is that the reality that gets lived out on a daily basis? Can I have a no? No, it's not. So let's try this again. Tap your neighbor, say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
What Pastor Dennis is about to say.
Dennis is about to say.
He's talking to you. Okay. I sort of fooled you a little bit. I said I wasn't always going to talk about Hilltop. I'm going to talk about Hilltop for a few minutes. Is it okay if I talk about Hilltop for a few minutes? Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right? Are there some 815 people here? Do they exist here in the room? Can I have an amen? Yeah, we got some 815 people here. Now, those of you that have only been here less than a year, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? We had 18 months ago, we had 3 worship services, and we had people that worshiped at 815. Raise your hands, 815 people. There we go. They're here today. You know what's that? They're here today. Praise God. Then we had some 930 people. Are 930 people here somewhere? There's some 930 people all around us. You know what? They're here. They're here. Now the rest of the people that were here, they worshiped at 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock people here, raise your hands. All right. Wow, look at that. Now let me ask you a question. The objective of that moving from 3 to 1, what was one of the primary objectives of that? One word.
Unity.
Unity. Unity. To be one as the body of Christ. What a great idea. Let me ask you a question. If you're here at 10:30, and you were here at 8:15, did you give something up to get here at 10:30? Yes. Come on, guys. Work with me. So if you were here at 8:15 and you start worshiping at 10:30, did you give up something? Did you give up something to be here at 10:30?
Yes.
A little louder.
Yes.
Okay. If you were here at 9:30 and now you're here at 10:30, did you give up something to be here at 10:30?
Yes.
If you were here at 11 o'clock and you're now here at 10:30, did you give up something to be here at 10:30?
Yes.
Now, there's lots of things I've given up. Some of it was music. Some of it was the ability to show up at worship at 8:15 and then have the rest of the day. When I retire, I'm going to be an 8:15 person. I am going to be an 8:15 person. Marilyn and I wake up sometimes at 5:30. Can you believe that? 5:30. Marilyn, do you wake up at 5:30?
No.
No. Okay. I wake up at 5:30. Marilyn likes to have hot coffee at 6. But the point really is, did people give up something to go to this thing at 10:30 that we've got all together? And I think the answer to that is yes. Can we have a yes?
Yes.
Okay. Tap your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Pastor Dennis is talking to you. I want to say thank you to everybody that gave something up to have this unified service. I want to say thank you and praise God and amen for your willingness to be part of the unity of Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For those that have got some lingering doubts out there, you know, I'm just not sure about some of this stuff. I really liked guitars. And organ, show me in the Bible where an organ exists. I don't want to worship the body of Christ with an organ. I want to have a guitar and a bass drum and all. Okay, am I making sense? And you know what? We come in here in this very multivaried service. Lots of musical styles. Do you think it's an accident that we have lots of musical styles here? No, it's not. We do it on purpose. Here's my invitation. Here's my invitation. Look around the room. Look around the room at some point in the service when we are doing something that you just may be a little uncomfortable with. And look around and see people's faces. I do it all the time. I sit up here and I get to see all 240 of you most Sundays. And any one time in the service, there's about 200 faces that are just joyful. And there's about 40 faces that are a little, shall we say, less than joyful. A little less than joyful. It's probably Eric. Where's Eric? It's Eric's fault. Eric, raise your hand. Is Eric here? Oh, my goodness. Eric's the drummer. It's all his fault. He's causing it. I watch the nonverbal communication periodically. I'm up here. And there's people that when some of the things are going on, their arms are crossed and their eyes are like this. Are they one with the body of Christ at that moment? No. No, they're not. No, they're not. We're trying a noble experiment here. That experiment is to be a church for everybody, all people. My invitation for us as all is to remind ourselves that that noble experiment might just include giving up something like 8:15, like 9:30, like listening to organ, not listening to guitars. Pick something. Maybe even listening to some cracker from Georgia get up and offer a sermon once in a while. Susan likes crackers from Georgia, right, Susan?
Yes.
Susan listens to me every week. She's used to my voice. Sounds great. Here's the invitation, though. is that we want to be the body of Christ. We want to have the Spirit of the living God fall afresh on us. That Spirit of the living God has indeed fallen afresh on us here at this service today. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
The request that all of us should have is to let the church be the church. It's important for the church to be the church. And what does that mean? It means being the body of Christ in the world. Christ didn't walk up to lepers and say, "I'm not going to heal you because you didn't attend the 8:15 service." Christ didn't walk up to people that needed his healing touch and say, "I'm not going to touch you because you're an organ person and I'm a drums person." Didn't do that. Jesus reminds us that we're called to be the body of Christ in the world. Over and over and over again, Paul, in his discussions with the churches that he is getting going, has to remind people that they are the body of Christ in the world. He uses this unity image over and over and over again. It's not unique to this passage out in Corinthians. He uses it in Ephesians. There's this idea in Philippians of how Christ pours himself out for others. Let the church be the church. What does that mean? Let the church be the body of Christ in the world. This is not easy stuff. Easy to say. Very easy to say. Boy, is it hard to live. One of the coaches that helped me on this the most is my wife. Believe me, more than once I have walked home from church or come home from church some point in time in my life in the last 14 years, walked in with my arms crossed, said, "You know, this just doesn't fill my needs." And she said, "You know, it isn't about filling your needs." My wife, the theologian. We're going to sing in a few minutes about the church triumphant. Let the church be the church. Let the people rejoice. For we've settled the question and we've made our choice. Let the anthem ring out, songs of victory swell. For the church triumphant is what? Alive and well. Come on up. It's going to be a invitation for us to musically think about what God wants us to be, God wants us to do. So I want you to do one more here for me. I want you to reach, look over at your neighbor and say, and tap your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
Pastor Dennis
is talking to you. Pastor Dennis is talking to you." Say it again. Say it. Pastor Dennis is talking to you. Josh, it worked better when we did this in January. Please stand as you are able. I don't think this is in your hymnals. We're gonna sing. God has always had a people. Many a foolish conqueror has made the mistake of thinking because he forced the Church of Jesus Christ out of sight, he had stilled its voice and snuffed out its life. But God has always had a people. The powerful current of a rushing river is not diminished because it's forced to flow underground. The purest water is the stream that bursts crystal clear into the sunlight after it has forced its way through solid rock. God has always had a people. There have been charlatans who, like Simon the magician, sought to barter on open market that power which cannot be bought or sold. But God has always had a people. Men who could not be bought and women who were beyond purchase. God has always had a people. There have been times of affluence and prosperity when the church's message has been nearly diluted into oblivion by those who sought to make it socially extractive, neatly organized, and financially profitable. But God has always had a people. It's been gold-plated, draped in purple, and crested with jewels. It has been misrepresented, ridiculed, lauded, and scorned, but God has always had a people. These followers of Jesus Christ have been, according to the whim of the times, elevated as sacred leaders and martyred as heretics. Yet through it all there, they march as this powerful army of the meek, God's chosen people who cannot be bought, flattered, murdered, or stilled. On through the ages they march, the church, God's church triumphant, alive, alive and well. God has always had a people.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.